Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're as psyched as I am, get up! Yeah!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Everybody has their walk list.
Yeah, well, I have mine, and Mel gets mad because I, like, keep adding to it. And now she feels like it's unfair because I theoretically could end up in a room with some of these people now.
For Colleen, I get a little bit self-conscious just because they are literally the opposite of me. Not even, like, better version of the same type of thing. Do me and Cam Newton look anything alike?
Oh, yeah, that's bad for you. It's possible that you, Colleen, and Cam Newton end up in a room or on an airplane
together.
Less
so with Usher, so I don't feel quite as bad about that one, but you know.
Okay, so Colleen's got a type, apparently, that is completely opposite from you.
Yes.
Oh, this is...
Yeah, I didn't realize I was viewed as like white chocolate all these years.
Oh.
See, you were doing all this stuff like you were on Drumline, and she's like, ooh, ooh, there it is right there.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
The show got off the rails after Joe Madden gave you pickup advice. It was pretty spectacular. I'm not going to lie. It was a very fun show. We're hoping to do the same today. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a ton to discuss on the show today, and we've got a couple of great guests. And as I mentioned, when Mitchell Trubisky hits the podium, we will take you there live. You'll be able to hear from your quarterback here on The Score. We're going to talk with Olin Krutz at 12:40. I'm glad that he has time today. I want to ask him some questions about improvement from the offensive line and some of the stuff that we went over on the football after show. And Olin, after his second or third watch of the game, I can't wait to hear what it is that he saw and maybe his thoughts on what he saw with the Broncos and whether or not there are things there that the Bears might be able to take advantage of. We're talking with my guy Sparky Pfeiffer. He's on our sister station up in Milwaukee. I would like to talk about Christian Yelich, the National League Central, and the National League wildcard race, since they are involved in all of that. So I want to get his thoughts on what happens to the Brewers now. If you hadn't heard, Christian Yelich has a broken kneecap, and he's done for a while. I feel horrible for him, but there is an actual effect that happens on the Brewers, and that impacts the Cubs. So we need to talk about it. There's also a lot of news about Antonio Brown, a civil lawsuit alleging three different sexual assaults. Bill Belichick was asked about that earlier today. He was not having it and ended up having like a 90-second press conference because of it, although I'm not sure what he was expecting, because obviously considering that they signed Antonio Brown, that this was going to be a major story. So we'll let you hear a little bit of that too before we get off the air today at 2 o'clock. We're going to spend a lot of time talking football in the first hour. Not that we aren't going to talk about the Cubs, because we should. That you lose the game where Jason Hayward and Chris Bryant homer twice. You lose that game where you fight back, and then Cishek at the end, man. Bases loaded, walk with four straight. It's every time that there's like something that's good with the Cubs, it's like there's some counterbalance with them that knocks everything back out of whack and causes them to lose games. It has been as bizarre of a year for a team that is still in the playoff picture that I can remember. It's really, really strange. And at some point, We'll delve more into that and talk more about it. But if you are fiending for some Cubs conversation, my LoHo Daily podcast today is all about Nick Castellanos and how I'm someone who doesn't necessarily root for teams anymore, with a few exceptions. Roll damn Tide! Oh, Tony, I got to tell you something about that. I got something in the mail yesterday that from Alabama that might interest you. And I just think that, that guy is really easy to root for. And so I did a whole podcast about why I think he's really easy to root for, with a little help from Joe Madden on that. But every now and again, guys come along, women come along. Congratulations to the Sky, their first playoff game tonight against the Phoenix Mercury, and got the coach of the year in the WNBA. There are players who come along that you go, yeah, I'm down with whatever that person is doing. So I want to spend some time discussing it. So it's available, the LoHo Daily podcast. You can, I'm okay if you leave the show to go listen to my podcast. I'm not okay if you leave the show to go listen to something else, unless I'm making you angry. And then if you want to go do that, I'm totally fine with it. But I am looking forward to hearing from Mitch. Now that he's had a chance to really delve into what happened against Green Bay, and I'm looking forward to hearing what things he wants changed. And as much as he can tell us, I'm not expecting, and I never expect for players to give an idea of what the game plan is for a particular week. But I am curious to see if what he saw that after he went back and looked at it. Because it is difficult sometimes for players to go, man, that was really bad in the moment. They do often need to be able to look at the tape. It's also, you know, something that gives them a little time and space from us. But look at the tape and then figure out, did I play as poorly as it looked like I played? What things can I do better? And how can I get the Bears offense back to the level of expectation? That's something else that we should talk about when it comes to the 2019 Bears. One game out of 16, it looked really bad. I mean, it looked awful. The Bears, for the most part, have been leaning into the expectations of this season, having fun with the fact that they're now the hunted instead of the hunter. I believe even Matt Nagy has even used that phrase now when talking about the NFC North. So I'm expecting them to be resilient. I go back to, and I joked about it on television a couple weeks ago, the Sports Illustrated, where they picked the Bears to finish fourth and they picked them to finish 7-9. I don't know if they had a tie on the, maybe, I think actually they did. Go back and look, Tony. See if they had the Lions at 8-7-1. Because how weird is it? How do you even discuss your team when your team is 0-0-1? What is that? I haven't even. I need to go sample like Phoenix Sports Radio and Detroit Sports Radio. Because how do you discuss? It feels like a loss, right? Like if you were in Detroit, that game felt like a loss. And if you were in Phoenix, that game felt like a win because you were getting dog walked and the number one overall pick looked terrible. And then in the span of 10 minutes, Lions gonna Lions, and then they Lions all the way to a tie. Granted, there was some questionable coaching that went on at the end of that game, like punting on 4th and 7 in an overtime with 90 seconds left to go. Just go for it, man. All that handsome's not going to wear off if it doesn't work out for you. This texter says, Chris Bryant has a pet rock named Reigns. Like, we keep doing this where we're trying to get Chris Bryant over to the South Side. It's become a running gag on the show. I enjoy it.
Sports Illustrated did not have a tie in the Detroit Lions.
All right. So they had them 9-7? Yep. Okay. With the Bears 7-9. After... What's really interesting, and I know that this happens in betting on the NFL, the second week, and I heard Joe talking a little bit about this, is one of the best weeks to bet if you know what you're doing because of the overreaction that happens, how lines move because of what happened in week one of a season. So I do wonder if because of that, there's a money-making opportunity here for you. And which team is going to look better? Are the Bears, who we thought, no. Are the Bears going to look better than what they showed against Green Bay, or is Denver going to look better than what they showed against Oakland? If I were betting on just that prop, I would bet on the Bears. I wouldn't bet on
Joe Flacco.
No, I wouldn't bet on him at all. Tony, look up Joe Flacco's yards per attempt over the last few years, because I believe it's in the sixes for him over the last three or four seasons. He looked like a quarterback that didn't quite want to be there and is just done. And I don't know what Denver does. That to me, it's real early because it's Wednesday. So in the preview of the game, Mitch is ready to go? We take you live to Halas Hall. Here's the Bears quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky.
The level of comfort you feel going against a defensive scheme that you practiced against, at least in training camp a year ago, versus just a normal game week where the level of unfamiliarity might be sort of standard?
Feels good. We feel very comfortable with it, just going against Vic's defense for the last couple of years. Seen it in practice a lot, be able to watch those clips from practice and see what worked, kind of see what didn't. And we got a lot of familiarity with it, and I think that's going to help us. And we just got to go out there and do our jobs and make sure we're all executing on the same page.
What's challenging for a quarterback from the way he does things?
Yeah, I think Vic does a good job calling the games, and he's really good with predictability, like knowing what your tendencies are and know what you're bringing, and just putting guys in the right spot. He does a good job of making it complicated for the quarterback to see as far as holding coverages and stuff, but he keeps it simple for his guys so they're able to play fast and be in the right spot and make plays.
If there's one thing that you want the offense to do better on Sunday, what would it be?
Just fast operation in and out of the huddle, just everybody on the same page, doing our jobs and playing with confidence. So that was kind of three things, but yeah.
Is it a concern, that Vic knows your personnel so well here, he knows your tendencies, he knows so much?
For sure, we got to mix it up a little bit. Got to do some things that he won't expect and just try to keep him off balance. But I think if all 11 guys on our offense are doing our jobs, then the game is going to go the way that we want it. And we want to dictate the tempo, how they're reacting to us, and just do things that that he won't expect necessarily. And we got to do some things that he hasn't seen before. So he's a great defensive mind, and we have a lot of respect for that. But we got a job to do, and we got to make sure we do our job in offense.
Talked about the third and one RPO the other day, or Matt talked about it. What can you walk us through just kind of everything you're evaluating when you're deciding whether to give it or keep it for a throw?
No, I was told not to talk about the last game. There's a lot of decisions on each play, and there's like three or four different plays built in one. Sometimes it's the right decision, sometimes it's wrong. Sometimes I make the wrong decision, but I make it right with the way I execute it. But we're moving on to this week, and we just got to be almost automatic in third and one. We got to just make sure we get those.
Was it Adam
that told you? Adam, amongst other people, that we're moving on.
Did you at least notice something when watching the tape that prevented you guys from getting in that rhythm that you want to make sure you can establish early in?
It's kind of hard to see on tape. I think it's like the in-between stuff, overall focus, studying, being in our books, maybe too much at times, and just everybody not being on the same page. So I think we just need to tighten down, everybody focus in a little more, a little more sense of urgency in and out of the huddles, better communications on the sidelines and in the huddle, so we have more time to operate at the line of scrimmage and then just playing fast. So less thinking, more communicating, and playing fast. And that's kind of hard to see on the film. It's more like an in-between kind of thing. Sorry.
Obviously, last weekend to start the season is not how you wanted it to go. How have you been tested mentally, personally, over the last handful of days, getting over it, and how do you think that
this week responding to it is going to say something about you.
Yeah, definitely. I think today at practice, and it was like a long, weird weekend after playing on Thursday and then just sitting on that for a couple of days. Got to think about it a lot and see all what went wrong. But we're positive around here. It's a positive culture. We're on to the next play and on to the next game. And it's all about that. All the mistakes we made, they're all fixable. So we're going to come in here, come in with solutions, come in with a positive work attitude and go to work and make sure we're bouncing around at practice day and fixing our mistakes and moving on to the next game.
You're listening to Mitchell Trubisky, his weekly press conference up at Halas Hall.
A long, weird week where there is extra time and the loss is disheartening as it was the other night. What were the added challenges to having the additional time to try to get over that hump?
Just time, 3 days to really dwell on it, which you're not supposed to. But you try to get back into the film room, watch it right away, take care of your body, bounce back, and prepare for the next week as much as you can. Get a jump start on Denver, seeing what they're doing, watch Vic's old tapes on his defenses, and try to just move along. And everything that we did last week, all the mistakes, just look at them, be honest with yourself, and be honest with your teammates, and make sure we're on the same page fixing those and moving forward. But we're still positive about it. We're still confident in what we can be as an offense, and we just got to go out there and play that way this week.
Mitch, felt like you studied on
the rookie you played against Vic's defenses, running scout team and so forth for rookie year. Last year through training camp against his defense, do you think much has been made about Vic knows you guys? Do you have a sense of him, some of his tendencies, what he likes to do in situations?
Yeah, we do. We kind of know some of his tendencies and how he likes to guess our tendencies. So you just try to play that game and where guys are lined up, how he schemes his defense and where he tells his players and how he instructs them and where they like to be and what they like to do. So we kind of know both sides of it. And I think it comes down to he's going to try to confuse us on the back end. We got to take care of their front. And it's going to be us just being in the right place, right time, doing our job and controlling the tempo of the game. So we got to make sure that they're reacting to us. We're not reacting to them. And we're playing fast and it's still football at the end of the day, so they're going to line up and we're going to line up, but we just got to make sure we do our job better than they do.
Can you share some of those tendencies with us?
just kidding.
And he plays a lot of one high, plays a lot of zone. He likes to zone you out. He'll drop eight a lot. And they like the will pressures, the nickel pressures, and it's more zone than man. For the most part.
You seem like you got your game face on already, but I will ask this anyway. What do you recall about Vic's competitiveness in practice and the way he seemed to take great joy out of the plays they made against you guys?
Yeah, I remember it. I definitely remember it. Especially like in 2 minutes at the end of practice, he would jump around and throw his play sheet in the air. If they made a play, he's super competitive, and we love that about Vic, but we got to make sure we're on the right end of it this week, and we just got to go out there and do our jobs, and if we do that, I think we'll be happy with the result.
What do you remember about running his scout team for those four games in 2017?
Not much, honestly. Just trying to find completions in practice, give him a really good look, and try to do my job, and you got to throw a couple to the defense to make them feel confident going into the game, but just running scout and doing cards.
Vic is known for designing and disguising his coverages. In all your work against when he was coaching here, do you feel like he showed you more, that there was more to work with than most of the other defenses you see?
Can you re-ask that question?
Do you feel like he showed you more looks that you had to be able to understand and read during the game as opposed to most other normal defenses?
Yeah, I think so. He's got a bunch of different coverages, but, I mean, what they run, they do it really well. So they don't overcomplicate it for the defense. They make sure the guys are in the right spot, but they like to hold things late so you're not getting a good look at the defensive shell or what they're running as you're catching the ball. Sometimes they hit it on the run, but hopefully if we play fast, we can catch them out of position is what we'd like to do.
Mitch, what do you appreciate about how Dave Ragone handles the post-game evaluation the next day with you, especially after a loss?
Yeah, for sure. Very detailed, very honest, always positive, always taking away the good things, but always correcting what was wrong. And we're honest with each other. We spend a lot of time in there watching the film, going over it. But we don't always dwell on the negative things. We take away what we grew from, where there was good throws, where we make good decisions, but we also fixed what was wrong.
How does he take the emotion out of something that
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think just the relationship we have and how close we are, we're able to put the emotions to the side of it and say, all right, look, we really need to fix this. We need to get better this week. It doesn't matter how we feel about it. That really doesn't matter because we got a job to do and we got to make sure that that result doesn't occur again.
Going forward, do you feel like 13 targets was a good number for Allen? Do you feel like you need to spread it around a little bit more, or was it just the coverage dictating it going to him?
I think that's a pretty good number. I mean, if he's open, throw it to him. Even when he's not, he's open. We want to be a balanced offense. We want to be a balanced attack, and we got so many weapons. We don't want the defenses to key in on one guy. And so if that's me giving the ball to different playmakers, but sometimes a lot of time during the week, the defense will dictate who gets more targets than others. And for me, it's just finding the open guy within each play call, within each progression, and trusting that, and trusting that our coaches are game planning to put us in the best position to win.
So much of the talk obviously has been about what went wrong. What are you feeling good about going into week two?
Yeah, I feel good about the way I threw it, and not all the decisions, but the ball felt great coming out of my hands. I feel like I was seeing the defense well, and I mean, on a lot of those plays, it's just really close, and we had some really simple things that went wrong. Some of it just flat out bad luck, some of it bad communication, some of it it's a game of inches. We just missed by inches, and you have a couple plays early on in the game that maybe went our way, then we might be looking at a whole different ball game. But that's not how football is. That's not how life is. Sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way, but you just got to bounce back, and that's what we're trying to do that week. And we're trying to get those inches to go our way to make sure that we're doing our jobs and we're going out there having fun. Last week, that's not fun. That result is not fun. We got to bounce around, do our jobs, make plays, and have fun.
All right, that was Mitchell Trubisky at Hallis Hall talking about what happened last week. Tony, you know you got people thinking that a reporter's cell phone is going off during the conversation with Mitch. That's not what that is. And if you correlate when Tony's playing it to what Mitch is saying, you'll understand. And if you're new to the show, the quarterback for the Bears often speaks in cliches. Although I will say there was some stuff in there. I was not expecting him to answer Moon's question about Vic's tendencies, but he did. The most important thing being that there's more zone than man. I also thought it was interesting that he a couple of times talked about communication. I want to talk about that more. We need to take a timeout. You just heard from Mitchell Trubisky. Olin Krutz is going to join me at 12:40. I've got some thoughts on what Mitch had to say. I'll share them with you next here on The Score. I enjoy the text from the people that got it. And I love that there are now people who get it. They're like, oh, I should have been counting the cliches. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We'll hear from Olin Krutz in about 10 minutes. His breakdown of the Bears, and we'll look ahead a little bit. Wednesday is kind of look ahead day, usually in the NFL. That being said, trouble's not the right word. I'm searching my inner monologue vocabulary for it. I didn't like the fact that Mitch said that someone told him to not talk about the last game. And I get it. He spoke after the game was over, but I feel like it's more valuable for him to talk now with some distance from the game and with a better understanding of what went wrong. So I don't like that. I think that that's it's a little weak, and I don't mean on Mitch's part. I mean on the Bears' part. I understand that they're on to Denver. You're doing the old Belichickian thing where just like, oh, well, then no one will care about it if we don't talk about it. No, I think in the development of your quarterback, this is part of it. Of him talking about what went wrong, why it went wrong, and what things can be fixed. I will say that one of the things that leaked out about this is him talking about communication. If you look at one of the Bears' biggest problems on Thursday, it was getting plays into Mitch, simply getting plays in to him. And if you have a player that's still, if we are going to allow for Mitch to be improving at this point in his career, where he still needs to develop, then you need to give him as much time as possible from when the play is conceived until it is snapped to allow him to survey what is going on in front of him. And I don't, it's part of the reason, and I thought that our buddy Anthony Heron said it really well. It's part of the reason why I felt like the coaching staff failed him on Thursday. That doesn't let Mitch off the hook. He made some terrible throws, and the answer where he's talking about Allen Robinson, where he's like, yeah, I mean, I'm throwing to him whenever he's open, and maybe sometimes even when he's not. That's a problem. That is a tendency. That's a tell. Whenever he seems to get flustered with where things are going offensively in the pass game, he knows that Allen Robinson, better than the rest of the guys, and it's no diss, it's just look at the money, is able to make a play for him. So he gives Allen Robinson a chance to make plays for him, and it's worked out for the most part for him over the last season in a game. I just think it seems just a little weak that people are telling him to not talk about it. So that's how I felt about it. I don't know how you felt, and you can let me know at 670-11 what your thoughts are. But I thought that was interesting. And the fact that Mitch was like, yeah, they told me not to talk about it. I thought it was interesting that he answered the question about Vic. And I wonder, when you have two people that know each other like this, how do you go about separating yourself from the other person? Is it what Nagy has on the card? Be you. Does Nagy have to be himself, or does he know that Vic knows who he is, so he can't be all the way himself? Or are you doing yourself a disservice as a coach and a play caller to not be true to what you are and let the players figure it out? You have belief in your scheme and whatever it is that you do, so maybe you don't change too much and you keep it the way that it's always been. Yes, Tony?
Because it's not only, you know, trying to confuse Vic, who's already been here. Does he change it too much so the players don't, you know, understand what's supposed to be going on too? And that's what I'm interested in as well. Are you trying to just kind of double-double, you know, trick Vic Fangio? Is it bad enough where the players are like, wait, what are we doing again? Wait, no, that was last week. We're doing this week. And that confusion as well.
Yeah, you've been drilling a lot of different stuff in. Do you make wholesale changes because someone happens to know more about you than another coach? And everyone knows the film. That's a question for Olin Krutz. I'm going to ask him about that. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. For those of you that have the reflexive protect the Bears at all costs, press conferences don't matter, I for the most part agree with you. My thing is, I don't want someone who's not, and this is no just to Adam, I love Adam, that's not in the football operation to tell the quarterback of a team what to not talk about. Like, that bothers me. Maybe it doesn't bother you as much, and that's totally fine. I'm okay being on an island, but it bothers me because at this point, this guy is one of your guys. This is your franchise quarterback, and if he wants to speak on it, in some cases he did, he should be allowed to, and no one should get in his way. No one's there beating Mitch up during the press conference. All that happened on Thursday and Friday, but trying to figure out, and I'm sure that we'll learn a little bit of what he learned, but it would be nice for him to acknowledge some of the stuff that went on Thursday. And if you don't want that transparency, I'm sorry. I still do. I'll talk with Olin Krutz next here on The Score. Glad that you're hanging out. I'm here until 2. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to talk with Sparky Pfeiffer from our sister station up in Milwaukee about the injury to Christian Yelich and the impact that has on the rest of the season for Milwaukee and for the Cubs. I also want, if we have time, I'll maybe even take some phone calls on the Cubs in this season after yesterday's loss. Olin Krutz does an incredible job on our post-game show. If he was on the line, which he is, I would tell you that he is joining me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. You can also watch Olin on NBC Sports Chicago on
your
the football
game show. He's on our pregame show.
Oh, yeah. But also he does like a post-game. You'll see when Olin this week, well, maybe not this week, but the first noon game, you'll see Olin's doing like a post-post where he just kind of comes in here and vents.
Like
but
Madden's post?
No, not like Madden's post. Although if Olin wanted to open up a restaurant, I think he'd be down with that too. You can watch him on NBC Sports Chicago on the football after show along with Alex Brown and Matt Forte and Lance Briggs. They do a great job on there. I host that show. It's a lot of fun. He now joins me here on The Score. Hey, Olin, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing really well. I wanted to ask you about your second and third watch of the Bears game on Thursday. Now that you had a little separation from the emotion of it, when you went back clinically and watched it, what things did you see?
What I saw was an offense that nobody had a good day except for Allen Robinson. And rarely do you hear a team say, whose fault was that in protection? Well, it really was everybody taking a turn. And usually, Lawrence, when I turn the film on, it's not true, right? You can pinpoint one or two positions that were having a bad day. And by what I mean by the Chicago Bears, protection-wise, were having a bad day was I didn't like their protection plan, whatever it was I was trying to figure out, and I couldn't. The O-line looked confused. The running back looked confused. Mitch Trubisky, when there was an extra rusher coming, he never beat the blitz. And look, sometimes you turn the best quarterbacks on in the NFL, and they're going to make a mistake, right, Lawrence? They're going to miss an open guy. They'll miss a hot route. But they're going to also make a play. And the Bears never really made that play they needed to get them going. So just watching the film again, what I saw was a bad game plan, a bad blitz pickup plan, players not playing well, and nobody except Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel on that one comeback route making a play at all.
Should I be concerned that a Pro Bowl center couldn't figure out the Bears' protection plan?
Well, I know what you're saying, but really you can never, unless you're in the room, you can never really figure out, let's take the first blitz, for example, the first sack, where Blake Martinez comes straight up in the A-gap, and, you know, Kyle Long sets to his right and James Daniels sets to his left, which tells me that James Daniels was assigned to the guy to his left gap, and the O-line's working to the left, which I would think would put Bobby and Kyle on kind of a fan out, but Bobby stays big on the end. The running back actually goes for the outside guy. He doesn't go for Blake Martinez, which if Kyle sits away from him, he should go for Blake Martinez there. So that's what I mean by I'm just a little confused by what the actual plan was. And it seemed like the players were a little confused by what the actual plan was sometimes.
It seemed like the Packers were using that A-gap mug look a lot. Mm-hmm. When you went back and looked at it, was that the case? Or was it looked as if they were doing it more than they actually were?
They were doing it on third downs, not a lot, but they were doing it enough, and it was confusing the Bears. And like I said, eventually you have to beat the blitz, and the Chicago Bears, Mitch Trubisky, the offensive line, the running backs, the tight ends, they never beat the blitz. So if you're on the sideline and you're Mike Pettine, you'd be a fool to go away from a blitz that has obviously confused the offense. And, you know, Martinez goes to the sideline after the first one and says, hey, nobody picked me up. I don't think they know who has me in that gap. And then you walk him up and they identify him, and a guy goes to block him, and you bring one of your cornerbacks off the edge, and nobody has him. And sometimes it looks like there was one I remember where Leno was trying to go out to the cornerback off the edge, but it looks like Leno has him, but really he's just trying to take a hit off of Mitch Trubisky there, and the ball's got to get out. You got to complete it. I think on that one play I'm talking about, Tariq Cohen was open for the first down. So, and look, like I said, you're going to miss guys sometimes. You just can't miss them the whole game. You know what I mean?
I heard Mitch say in the press conference today, Olin, that he wants better communication. And I agree with him. Like, we saw him a lot kind of waving in and saying, hey, get the play in. How important is it for a quarterback who's still developing to have as much time for pre-snap reads as possible?
Well, it's really important, right? And you want that play, and you want to get them to line up and maybe dummy cadence them. So they're going to actually line up in the blitz that they're going to do. But, you know, like we're talking about, it looked like everyone had a bad game. I mean, I think we could all agree that that was maybe Coach Nagy's worst game, not only calling plays, but getting them in and not getting a delay of game. So, and the thing that you're worried about when you watch that, if you're a fan, is you're worried about they did that at home with no crowd noise. Well, Denver got their opening game coming up Sunday, and it's going to be loud there. So they got to get that corrected, and they got to get that corrected quickly.
How real is the altitude issue in Denver?
It's real, right? I mean, you can feel it when you go out and you run in, and you're kind of gasping for air a little bit. But you got to, you know, everybody plays there. You got to get over it, and you got to find a way to win the game.
So, what did you take any type of, like, were you hydrating more? Like, what do you do? Do you do extra conditioning the week before you play that game?
Well, you know, you got to get like Matt Forte on, or Lance Briggs, or Alex Brown on, the guys who actually would run around a lot. Offensive linemen, you know, got to worry about me. I mean, I probably had a steak and a beer before I went out there and played the game. So, but I mean, all that stuff comes into play. I mean, you're not going to be able to adapt to it in a day. So it's just something you're going to have to deal with, and people have been dealing with for years.
Vic Fangio knows this Bears team really well. Matt Nagy knows Vic Fangio really well. And hearing Mitch talk about some of the things he expects, clearly, I mean, the tape shows that Vic likes to run more zone than he runs man, for example. Mm-hmm. When it came to coaches that knew you, what was the preference for you? Was it, we do what we do no matter what, or are we going to try and change because this person knows what we do?
Well, you're going to do what's in the playbook, and maybe just you change. All you really have to do when everybody talks about, you know, tendencies and things of that nature, is you just have to change it once or twice a game to get that guy uncomfortable. You just don't want to have what we used to call 100%er. Like, you know, when that guy's in his stance or they're in this formation, it's this 100% of the time. You know what I mean? So you break a tendency here and there, but, you know, Lawrence, to be honest, it's going to be about players, right? It's going to be about what we do with Tariq Cohen. Hopefully he's in the backfield a little more this week. What we do with Allen Robinson, what we do with David Montgomery, the offensive line on the run game. We have to win on double teams. We can't get stuffed in the line of scrimmage on a double team so we don't get yards. So break a tendency once or twice. I'm sure Vic will, you know, kind of like when they're in this front, they never blitz. So you just throw one blitz in there and then your tendency is broken. So it'll be interesting to see this game with a lot of people are called two very good play callers with Vic Fangio and Coach Nagy, and it'll be interesting to see them go head to head.
Is there something to the idea that it seemed as if, not they were 100% keys, but Adrian Amos felt like he knew some of the stuff that was going to happen in certain situations?
I'm sure, and there is something to that, and we talked about it on our post-game show where, you know, this Bears offense, if you want to worry, don't worry about just 1 week, but if you go back to the Rams game last year when Tremont Williams says, we're going to make Mitch Trubisky play quarterback, what he's saying is we're going to give him a bunch of different looks, make him help out in protection. Look, the crazy thing to me when I hear people talk pass protection, Lawrence, is when they separate the quarterback from the pass protection. The quarterback's number one job is protecting himself, making sure everybody's assigned to who they got, and getting the protection organized and realizing who's coming free, where your matchups are, and things of that nature. So, you know, that's where everything starts there.
It starts with the QB. He's got to protect himself. The play calling, I feel, has to help him out too. And I don't think I asked you this specifically on Thursday, so I want to do it now. Considering that there were RPO opportunities and they threw the ball 23 times in the fourth quarter and ran it zero, and clearly the Packers were like, well, we're going to show you the look that's going to make you pass it instead of run it. How can Matt Nagy – does Matt Nagy, even in an offense that is predicated on some of this RPO stuff, have straight run calls that he can call if he feels like the situation warrants it?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they have a few straight run calls, especially when Mitch is under center. They have a few straight run calls, which they use, I think, to set up that naked, also bootleg that you saw Mitch throw to Taylor Gabriel on the sideline. Maybe one of his best throws of the night, probably his best throw tonight. But they definitely have runs, but they just, like Mitch said, they just have to make better decisions on those RPOs, because really that's what their offense is, right? You're not going to totally change your offense in week two because the Packers defensive line and, you know, cornerbacks really, really played really well. I mean, I think we were watching, guys. You know, one thing I want to throw out there is, at the end of the year, this Green Bay defense, now after watching them on film go against the Bears, they could be a top five defense in the NFL. That's Za'Darius Smith that they got from Baltimore, that Preston Smith with Kyler Fracco, Rashawn Gary with Kenny Clark. And if they get their linebacker, Oren Burke, back, and the way their cornerbacks played and they all stay healthy, that's a formidable unit. So really something to watch for there, that you might have just played against a really, really good defense in week one.
I thought Savage was pretty good, too. Him coming downhill and making some plays.
Did you see late in the game, Coach Nagy did a great job. They actually set up that fake screen to Tariq Cohen, and then Allen Robinson released, right? And they called it right into the blitz, so it was perfect. And they picked the blitz up. And Tremont Williams, Mitch underthrew it just a little bit, or would have been a touchdown anyway. But the play Tremont Williams makes on that ball to push. Remember when Allen Robinson kind of pushed him out of bounds so he couldn't get 2 feet in bounds?
Yeah.
The play he makes on that play, Lawrence, it was unbelievable. So sometimes you just got to say, like, man, the guys we played had a great game, a great plan, and that might be a very, very good defense, right? Like, not very many guys are going to stand up Kyle Long on a double team like Kenny Clark did. So they have some hammers out there in Green Bay now. They've been building. They built that defense through a lot of money at it. And let's see, as this season goes on and stays healthy, the Bears might have just ran into a really good defense in week one.
What did you see from Vic Fangio's defense in that first game against Oakland that the Bears can exploit?
You want to know what I honestly saw when I just turned the film on? I saw that he doesn't have Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman anymore, and that Derek Wolfe that stopping a run is a lot harder where you don't have those guys. But, you know, to talk about Vic, you know, if you look at the stats when Vic, you know, Vic's first year, I think they were like 15th. I don't know the exact numbers, but he kept building that defense, right? And then they got Khalil Mack and they took a jump. So, you know, when Khalil Mack was in Oakland, I think they finished the year at, I don't know, like 23 ranked in the league. So it's not just one guy on defense, right? So he doesn't have Akeem Hicks. He doesn't have Eddie Goldman. He doesn't have Trevathan. He doesn't have Roquan Smith there in the middle. But something to watch for when we go into this week is that crowd noise with Von Miller and Chubb. It's definitely going to be a factor, guys. So something the Bears have to prepare for. That Denver defense will definitely be a lot better at home than they were in Oakland on that baseball diamond.
Olin, I appreciate it. I will see you Sunday. Thank you for the great information.
Guys, thank you very much.
That is Olin Kreutz. That's why I love that Olin is one of our experts here at The Score, because I think offensive line play is the thing that most football fans are most ignorant on, myself included. I can't speak to it that way like I can other aspects of the game. Hearing Olin be able to break it down, and I think he makes a great point, and it's something I wrote down, that the quarterback is in charge of his protection. Don't separate the offensive line from the quarterback in that regard. We're going to turn left a little bit here in the next segment. The Christian Yelich injury, what's the impact on the Cubs? We'll talk with Sparky Pfeiffer from our sister station in Milwaukee about that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.